We're in season, right? Where we are is in verse 9. It says, the hands of Zerubbabel, our king, has laid the foundation. What he really did is he relaid the foundation. You know, the apostles came into the full revelation of the right hand of God. They started preaching it even when they didn't understand it. And the Lord opened those books to them, and that whole foundation was laid. I said, hands, he's relaid the foundation's house, but his hands will also bring it to completion, final stone. That's where we are right now. I believe in my heart the foundation has been laid. Amen. The foundation of what God's going to do in the building and completion of the Latter-day House of God. I believe the plumb line is next. For who hath despised the day of small beginnings? You know, I don't know if you realize this, but we never have in 20 years grown past probably 250 people. And we should have been, we could have been in the thousands. But in reality, if we would have been, could have been, should have been, but if we would have been, it would have been a major distraction to what God wanted to do, because he wasn't ready to build outward yet. He was building inward. Amen. And when you're building inward, not everybody's going to understand the blueprint, but you'll understand it. Amen. When people came to the Lord's ministry, they didn't even understand what he was carrying. They came because of the outpouring. They came because of the miracles, the multitude. Every time you saw multitudes, it was miracles. They didn't understand. If the disciples didn't understand what he was talking about, you could imagine the multitudes, amen? Because he didn't sit there and explain it all to them. He said, but unto you, the disciples have been given up and to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. And he would expound the things that he would teach. But they were there because of the outpouring. There's a whole generation that's about to be affected by the outpouring of the seven spirits of God in a way that church is trying to become relevant by looking like the world, acting like the world. Just because a church is full of people doesn't mean it's displaying the blueprint of what God wants to display. Amen? But God's going to bring his blueprint back down again. Amen? It's going to come out of heaven. It's a heavenly blueprint. And when he brings it down, it's going to affect people that were not affected by a powerless church. They're going to be shaken. They're going to be astonished, just like they were before. And God's going to shake the nations with this massive latter-day outpouring of God. Amen? Glory to God forever. They're going to shake. They're not going to be able to sit there through services. The Holy Ghost is going to arrest them in the spirit. Their aunts and their uncles and the people that would have never walked into the church that have incurable diseases are going to see the little son, little Joey, get healed and be made whole in front of their eyes, and going to shake and reverberate throughout the family lines. The kind of miracles and outpouring of God is going to be so undeniable, because it's going to reach into the incurables. It's going to reach into the impossibles. Amen? He says, despise not the day of small beginnings. Amen? When you're in blueprint phase, when you're in foundation building, like Carlos spoke about last week, he watched, what was it, 2 or 3 years they were building that foundation, nothing. Just work, bulldozers, nothing but dirt. You don't see anything. Nobody sees anything. Don't even know what's going on. But when that foundation's been laid and it's time to elevate, amen, that is what the plumb line is. Do you know what a plumb line is? I actually have one in here, I think. This is what a builder would use. It's called a stone of ten. And they would use this in the day. They didn't have levels back in that day. They would use this, and they would suspend this. It's a vertical plumb line. It's a vertical plumb line. And this is how they made the building straight. Amen? They made the corners straight because everything was built in alignment with this. They would attach this to an object, and it would sit, but it would get so still that they could build vertically. And when they began to build vertically, they built with a plumb line. Amen? They lay the foundation stones, but when they went vertical, they had to have the stone of 10 or the plumb line. This is what this is. The plumb line is the commissioning to go vertical. Amen. Now, we're already going vertical, but to go vertical in the building itself, built of living stones, the whole temple must go up vertically. Amen. And in going vertical, it will automatically go horizontal. Amen. It'll reach throughout the world, the final stone. Now, to say that, now, I want you to see this verse here. He said, despise not the day of small beginnings. Say small beginnings. For they shall rejoice. They is actually, a lot of your translations say the seven spirits of God. The seven spirits of God is a fancy term for the Holy Spirit, but he's referred to here, his operation. He says, not by might. This whole lampstand is going to be built not by might, not by power, but what? By my spirit. But when he talks about this lampstand in the book of Revelation, he specifically refers to his spirit as the seven spirits of God. The Holy Spirit's name in the book of Revelation is the seven spirits of God. Amen. He said, they will rejoice to see. He rejoiced, but the eyes of the Lord, the seven eyes of the Lord will rejoice to see. Say, rejoice to see. The plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. When the Lord is ready to build the final tabernacle, he's going to use that plumb line. That is commissioning. Amen. That's commissioning the plumb line, the commissioning with those seven. We're going to operate and build with the seven spirits of God. It's not by our might. It's not by our power. And he started talking to me about the seven eyes of the Lord today. Now, these are specifically mentioned in the book of Revelation as the seven spirits of God. He started talking about the operation of the seven eyes of the Lord. He said, this operation is now. He goes, this operation is going to be upon my people as a whole throughout the world. The seven eyes of the Lord that have been with us, say with us in building and mysteries. I don't know if you're aware of this, but we've been traveling through this realm of mysteries with the kingdom of God. That came specifically by the operation of the seven eyes of the Lord to look into the mysteries of God. These eyes are also going to allow us to build with. Amen. And I'm going to show you this operation because he spoke to me. He said, this operation is coming fast. He actually said, it's now. You're in this season. I just felt this morning, early this morning, is the overshadowing of the seven spirits of God and the seven eyes of the Lord, that we're going to become increasingly more and more and more aware of this operation. And I'm going to describe, but preach to minister to you this operation right out of the Constitution. It's been there the whole time. Now, in the book of Revelation, he speaks of the seven eyes resting upon the Lamb and with seven horns, which is the perfection of the kingly anointing. He says, these are the seven spirits of God sent forth on all the earth. And then they begin to say, worthy is the Lamb to receive the seven inheritances. And we've been talking about the seven inheritances. What was the first inheritance? Dunamis. What was the second? Generational wealth. Say generational wealth. It's one of the great things God will do in this hour, release generational wealth in the hands of his people. The third is wisdom. It's not just wisdom, it's omniscience. You've heard me speak of omniscience. It's the all-knowing eyes of the Lord. Amen. It's the all-knowing understanding and wisdom that's given. Now, God's not going to let you be all-knowing of all things. Amen. But he is going to allow the seven eyes of the Lord to be with us to see in the realms he wants us to see in. Just like the eyes of the Lord have been with us to see into these mysteries, we are understanding now. We've been given understanding of massive, major prophetic events that are about to take place in the world by the word of God, through the mysteries of God. Those eyes have been with us, and they simply pointed us into the revelations in the mysteries of God's word. Amen. But those eyes, as you'll see today, will be with us also as we begin to build. Amen. As we begin to build, as we begin to build, say, as we begin to build. When the plumb line comes and the commissioning comes, the eyes of the Lord will be with us to build. And they're going to be with us in the production and the manifestation is a better word of the seven inheritances of God. And part of that operation is the omniscience of God will be given to God's people in this hour. And part of the omniscience of God through the seven eyes is also the omnipresence. I call it the three omnis. Say omniscience, all-knowing omnipresence. The eyes of the Lord go to and fro. They're everywhere at all times. Amen? But they're not just based on linear. They also move in time. The eyes can go backwards. They can go forward. God's foreknowledge, God's knowledge, the all-knowing eyes, the seven eyes of the Lord, not only are in every place in the earth at all times, they go to and fro the whole earth, the Bible says. Say the whole earth. The seven eyes of the Lord are to and fro. They see everything at all times. Now, God is not going to allow each one of us to see all things, but He is going to allow us to be in the presence of the seven eyes of the Lord. Amen? Now, you're going to have to get just used to this. You just get used to the heavy things of God. Amen? But the seven eyes of the Lord are going to allow us to be where we need to be and see what we need to see. Amen? And each one of us are going to be given sight. In that sight, sometimes God is going to move your spirit. Amen? I'm going to talk to you about this operation today because the Spirit of the Lord said, this is upon you. This is happening. It's going to happen. It's upon you. You need to understand who you are as joint heirs, the capacity of what you've been made. I'm going to show you the operations of omnipresence and omniscience today. Amen. And omnipotent dominion. All the omnis, omnipotence, omniscience, and omnipresence. Part of the omniscience of God, because of the eyes of the Lord, they go to and fro the whole earth. They can go through the whole earth present, but they can also go through backwards in time and move forward in time. These eyes, we can move with them. Amen. They take you with them when they want to show you something. Do you hear me? They take you with them. You are present. And I'm going to show you this in Scripture. When you are given the operation, the omniscience of God, you are present where they are. Amen? So it's not just the eyes of omniscience, but also the operation of omnipresence. Because this is who you are as joint heirs. And you must understand the operations that we are given in this hour. Amen? The church very rarely teaches on these, but this is the operations that we are going to have on a consistent basis. But you need to see it. Amen? And it's been there the whole time. They've been sitting in these pages. I want you to go to 2 Kings chapter 5. I'll show it to you in the Old Testament, New Testament. Praise the Lord. And I'll show you modern day that operated in it. Very amazing operations. But now that we're in season to operate with the seven eyes of the Lord. It's part of the function of your new man. You're a new creation. Say, I'm a new creation. That new man is not bound to the physics of this earth. Your body's bound, but your new man is not bound to earth's physics. Amen? It can supersede it if you understand these operations. The new man, I'm not getting flaky weirdo. I'm just going to show you the operations of the new man. Amen. Glory. As it pertains to the seven eyes of the Lord, as it pertains to the omnipresence of the seven eyes. Now, when you think of omnipresence, I don't want you to just think of Africa, Asia, you know, South America, Russia. I also want you to think of backwards in times, forwards in time. Amen. Do you understand the incredible? I'm going to share with you today testimony of John G. Lake of how he affected the region of Africa in such a powerful way. But God had programmed him to do this before he even got there. God showed him things, and he specifically spoke of this operation that God woke me up this morning and said, "You're in the days now." Listen, the Lord's sharing some of this stuff to me 10 years ago. We weren't in season for it. Amen? We're in season for these operations now, and you need to know who you are and the capacity you've been given. You're not just limited to these natural eyes that you have, and you're not just limited to the natural senses. If you do, you're not going to understand the kingdom. We are heirs. Say, we're heirs. We're given capacity to walk in light that's not of this world, understanding that's not of this world, wisdom that's not of this world. Amen? But we have to see how this stuff works. We're going to look at this in the ministry of Elisha. So this is when Naaman, you remember Naaman, the king, he had leprosy and Elisha sent for him and he said, "What troubles you?" He goes, "Leprosy." And he said, "Come see me." And so Naaman It's Naaman the king. And so he came to see Elijah. He said, go wash in the Jordan 7 times. You'll be healed. And that just offended him altogether. He didn't want to do that. And his servant said, listen, if he'd have told you to do something simple, what you've done, just do it. So he does this. He gets healed all of a sudden. And Naaman wants to give him. I mean, he brought a boatload of, I mean, he's king. He brought a boatload of treasure to him. And he wanted to bless Elisha. But Elisha, it wasn't time for this. And Elisha, see, there's a time that Elisha received from his own mantle when it began to multiply. But this time, he said, it's not a time for this. He said, no, no, I do this unto you before the kingdom of God. I do this before the God. And he says, no, and he sent him away. But Elisha had a servant, Gehazi, and he saw that treasure. Amen. This is where we're going to pick this up. 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 26. And he said unto him, Gehazi. So Gehazi went to Naaman and he said, well, sons of prophets ended up showing up at Elijah's house and we need this treasure after all. And so Naaman gave him the treasury and he had two men bear the treasury. Naaman went and hid it in his house. I mean, how dumb can you get and still breathe? You're operating under a mantle of Elisha and you're going to try to hide something from him? This is the kind of stuff, listen, that we're going to have in this hour, that God, things that have been hidden are not going to be hidden anymore. We're going to be able to see things. When you were under the ministry of John G. Lake, he could see everything you were doing all the time. He saw when his ministers would hold offerings and he'd tell them, oh, I saw the offering. You turned in this amount, but I saw that you were given this. They had a fear of God on them because they knew he could see. Amen. I'm going to show you how he saw in a minute. So Gehazi does this, and he comes back to Elijah like, no big deal. And this is where we're going to pick it up for sake of time. Verse 26, he said unto Gehazi, did not my heart go with thee? Who has an amplified version? Raise your hand. Was it in the amplified, it said, did not my spirit go with you? Say, go with you. Was I not present when all this transpired? You thought you were in the presence of a king, and you were doing all this? I was there with you. Say, with you. I saw it because I was present. Did not my spirit go with you when the man turned again from his chariot and met thee? Elisha saw the whole thing. Though Elisha was sitting in one place, his spirit was in another place. Amen? And he saw what Gehazi did. Is it a time to receive money and garments and olive yards and vineyards and sheep and oxen and men's servants? And the leprosy, therefore, of Naaman shall cleave unto thee and to thy seed forever. And he went out from the presence as a leper. That was a judgment that came through an operation of omnipotence. But that judgment came because of what he did. But the point was, Elijah was in one place, but his spirit was present. Amen? Let's look at this in the New Testament. Colossians chapter 2, we see this in the operation of the Apostle Paul, amen? We see this in his ministry. Colossians chapter 2, verse 5, he said, though I be absent from you in the flesh, I'm not with you in body. I'm not with you in body, yet am I with you, in spirit, joying and beholding your order. Say, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith. So in Colossians, when Paul would pray, God would literally transport his spirit into that church and he could see everything that was going on. Amen? He could see the order. And he was happy with it. He goes, I was joying and I was beholding your order and he could see the steadfastness. Listen, he couldn't pick up a phone and just call them. You don't understand, in that generation, you couldn't call, hey, how are you guys doing? Sometimes it'd take him months to get a report from a church. I mean, he'd send somebody and wait for the report, but God gave him this operation where he could be present with that church and know exactly what was going on. Amen? He said, I've been with you in spirit. I'm joying with you. I'm beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith. You're doing good. Keep it up. But no, I'm with you. No, and he had to send his letter, let him know, I'm with you. I see what's going on. Though I'm not present in body, I am present in spirit. You see that? That's the operation of omnipresence and omniscience. Omnipresence moved him into the Colossian church. The omniscience of the seven eyes were with Paul so he could see what was going on. Isn't that awesome? He could see. What if God moved you into the marketplace and let you see what's going on in the markets? Amen? Because omnipresence moves you into a position in where omniscience downloads that position to you. You see that? So omnipresence, Paul is wherever Paul's at. But then when it comes time to see, God, through the operation of omnipresence, moves his spirit into the church of Colossian church, amen? And then the seven eyes of the Lord begin downloading the wisdom of what's going on there, showing him what's happening. So he could see, so Paul goes, I'm joying with you, I'm beholding your order. You're in good shape, steadfast your faith, I'm happy with you. I got to go back to this other church I'm not so happy with. This Corinthian church was a thorn in Paul's side. You know, the one that gave the gifts, the administrations, the operations, the powers of the age to come, limited, kept pointing them to love, but he didn't have that testimony when it came to the church of Corinth. Amen? Because they were a very, very carnal church. Say carnal church. So go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. The chapter 5 is where Paul got down to some apostolic business. Amen? So go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. This is where there was fornication. The son was marrying the father, his father's wife. He was basically marrying his mother. It was pretty crazy what was going on in there. Paul brought in to correct this. He wasn't brought in on an airplane. But God moved him in to that situation because he was the apostle of that church. In fact, he birthed that church. By the time 2 Corinthians 13 comes around, they didn't even know that Christ was speaking through him anymore. He says, you're doubting even Christ speaking through me. Because of the strong man of my life and the things you hear about me, you're doubting whether Christ speaks to me. But let me make you fully aware, I'm the apostle of this church. I birthed you. And I'm present with you in spirit. And I'm not joying. And I'm not happy with what I'm looking at. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 3. For I, verily, as absent in body, but present with you in, here it is, he's present again in spirit. Did not my spirit go with you? Present in spirit, I've judged already as though I were present concerning him that hath done this deed, this marriage, this way out of order and this fornication. He says, for in the name of Jesus Christ, when you're gathered together, say gather together, and my spirit with you, say, I'm with you. That's pretty interesting. Wonder who's with us. See, now Paul was with the Corinthian church like this, and he saw, he goes, I was present with you, and I judged this thing as though I, he goes, I was absent, but I judged it as though I was present. I judged it in the spirit, because you should have judged it yourself, but you didn't, so God had me judge it. And I wasn't present with you. I wasn't present in body, but I was present with you in spirit. Absent in body, but God had me there, and he showed me the whole thing. Here again, we see the operation of the seven spirits of God moved him into a position, a geographical position that he was not in body, but in spirit, he was in a different region. Amen. We see this when God transports men through time. God owns time, so God can, he calls it to stand still for Joshua. He moved it backwards for Hezekiah. He moved the sundial back 10 degrees, moved the sun back. He calls the sun to stand still for Joshua for a whole day. Do you understand the dynamics? If the sun doesn't go down, what happens with the earth rotation? And God held the sun for 24 hours while Joshua was fighting. God can move men through time. Amen. Was it Philip was transported, translated through time. Amen. God owns time, and your spirit is not bound by time. You just think you're bound by time because you live in a body that is, but your spirit's not. It's not bound geographically either. That doesn't mean we're going to do transcendental levitation meditations. The cult can tap into this stuff too. They do the cult. Listen, if you do this stuff outside the spirit of God, you're in trouble. Because this has to be done by the seven spirits of God. But it can be done, and it will be done, and it should be done, and it is divine order that it should be done. Amen? Paul was moved into the Corinthian church. He saw what was going on. He saw the sins. He saw the things that were out of order, and he judged it. Though absent in body, present in spirit. Isn't that incredible? This is the kind of operation when God talks about the seven eyes being released, the seven spirits of God with the seven eyes being released in the last days. Is he released the seven spirits of God with the seven inheritances? This is what he's talking about. This is the kind of anointing we get to run with in the last hour. Amen. This is the kind of run where you're going to be in one place and all of a sudden, you're translated. Amen. That's what Philip did. He's preaching one place and God just took his body up and dropped him down preaching another place. Until we get into full age and start being taught of who we are, we're never going to operate like that. We won't have vision operated. We get bound by our senses. And we label ourselves, and I'm of this and I'm of that, but we don't know how to operate because we're never exposed to these things. But listen, this last day remnant, the seven spirits of God are going to pour out of heaven. One of the operation is the seven eyes of the Lord. They're on the Lamb and they're coming down. This is what they do. This is what the seven eyes of the Lord do. They let you see. Sometimes they let you see in a place where your body doesn't get to go, but your spirit gets to go. All right. I read a book this thick, measured my fingers about 4 inches, John G. Lake, to get this one part. There's so many parts of this Constitution, I read whole books. But this is our operation. This is how the white horse is going to run super fast. Amen? Because you're not going to be bound by time or the elements. You're not going to be bound by physics. Was the Lord Jesus bound by physics? You know, he was in a mountain praying. He sent his disciples out. He watched them. It said he watched them cross the sea. And I studied that. There's no way his sight could have seen. He was with them. And then he just walked. They encountered the boisterous waves. And he just walked through the storm. 5-foot storms. He walked through the storm. He wasn't bound by physics. How many of you know John G. Lake? Raise your hand. Amazing apostle of the early generation, the things that he did and the knowledge that the church was operating in, the operations of God upon his life. I want to read to you a part of his book where he began to describe the seven eyes of the Lord. Amen. He goes, my first great interest in Africa was simulated when I was a child through reading of the Livingstone's travels and exploration of Stanley, finding Livingstone in the heart of Africa. And still more in the reading of Stanley's trip. And as the years of my boyhood passed, I became conscious of a certain operation of my spirit, which I will endeavor to describe. In my sleep, this is what the Lord spoke to me this morning. He goes, I'm going to start beginning this operation. And sometimes during my waking hours, it seemed to me as if I was present in Africa instead of America. That he was called to Africa. At such times, I would note the geography of the country and the peculiarities of the landscape and the characteristics of various tribes of the native people. As I reached manhood, these excursions in my spirit became more intelligent to me. So this was an operation, say an operation. Before he went to Africa, God downloaded the entire country to him before he ever got there. Let's see what all he showed him. Isn't that amazing? This is what's in the lampstand when you pray the constant. You need to understand what you're praying. Praise God. He called it an excursion or projection of spirit consciousness or whatever it may be termed. I just call it the operation of the seven eyes of the Lord. Omnipresence. Omniscience. Amen. Occurred during hours of communion with God in prayer while meditating and praying while on the sea on my way to Africa, I would become suddenly conscious of the political conditions of South Africa. I'd feel the struggles of various political elements in their contest for supremacy, then again, I would realize the conditions of the country financially. And still again, the religious aspects of the nation. I saw the predominating thought that bound the Boer people as a nation to the Dutch church and the struggles of the civilized native people to attain religious independence. While in the spirit, I want this. You have no idea what the Lord has spoken to us about this operation. While in the spirit, I comprehended not only present fact, but my consciousness would project itself into the future so that I saw the train of national events that were yet to take place. I saw the west coast of Africa when it become a great commercial seaport with lines of railways extending into the Transvaal. He saw all this before it was ever developed. If he understood at the time, but he was a multimillionaire. This guy was worth like $50 million back in the 1920s. He was a businessman in Wall Street. And God told him he's going to sell everything and go to Africa. But he had a belief system that he could not engage in business as a minister. So when he left it, but had he took his business acumen, he could have bought all that land before all that was developed. Do you know he birthed over 1,400 churches in 5 years? And many of his ministers died of starvation out on the field. That's how poor it was because he adopted that belief system. And yet the whole time he was sitting on a gold mine. He was downloaded not only political, religious, but the financial operations of the entire nation of Africa. He was given this. And had he used his business, he would have been a king, priest, forerunner. But his doctrine didn't allow him to do it. Had he had our doctrine? Well, we need his operation with our doctrine. Much of this vision I have seen fulfilled in this writing. He saw all this fulfilled. No one could realize, unless they had been associated with me in the work in Africa, how thorough the knowledge of the conditions of Africa were made to me. This was not the result of reading, for I had read practically nothing of Africa since my childhood. In traveling through the country after my arrival, there was nothing new. Did you hear that? There was nothing new. He didn't have the internet in those days. He could go search out where he was going. He was taking a trip into a place he'd never been, but he'd been many times in the spirit. And through the operation of omnipresence, God would take his spirit in Africa. Through the operations of omniscience, he began downloading various operations, the political operations, the religious operations. Why? So he would be full well able to win that country. And he said it was because of this knowledge and this understanding, these operations, he became so effective with so many. Isn't that amazing? Because he was already armed before he got there. My friends, we must have this operation. This is part of the runnings of the white horse. It's how it's going to move so quickly. Take this operation, put it with a social media age, and you can imagine. He says, I had seen it all in advance and could recollect times and circumstances when in my visions of Africa, I visited one city or another. Every time he went into the city, he knew everything about it. He could start reading their mail. From the political to the religious to the financial leaders. That's how he got their trust. He says, the knowledge of affairs was of inestimable value to me when I was actually on the ground. Businessmen and statesmen alike frequently expressed surprise at the intimate knowledge I possessed of the conditions in the land. Little realizing how this knowledge had come to me. It gave him favor with the businessmen. It gave him favor with the politicians. It gave him favor with the religious leaders. So he wasn't working from the ground up. He was working from top down. You see the difference? God armed him to take that nation before he ever got there. And he did it with these operation of the seven eyes. The same eyes that have been with us in laying the foundation through the mysteries of God are the same eyes that are going to be with us in operating in the earth. And this is what the Lord has spoken to me. In the plumb line, these eyes are going to release. Isn't it glorious? Let's give God glory. Hallelujah.